These two guys have Minnesota sports flowing in their veins. Mackie and Judd on Score North and ScoreNorth.com.
This is months of discussions to get to this point. Yes, we know Kaprizov is a priority. Likewise is Kevin Fiala. But beyond that, we also know that the Minnesota Wild would love to add a top line center. Now, they've been linked with interest to Jack Eichel of the Buffalo Sabres. I believe that the Wild are going to make an offer, a trade offer on Jack Eichel, but they're also not going to blow their cap space, and they're not going to overpay with trade assets. So it's going to be interesting to see what Guerin does at center ice moving forward.
Reckless speculation.
Yes, welcome to 52 holidays called Reckless Speculation. Every Thursday on this show, Reckless Speculation Thursday, Mackie and Judd, daily Minnesota sports entertainment, and we want titles, damn it. Ordinarily, programming note, our friend Darren Doogie Wolfson from Five Eyewitness News would join us for inside information about your favorite local sports teams. He's going to join us tomorrow. He's got his A job, the TV job. He's got an interview scheduled this morning, and we just couldn't find a time to work. So he'll join us tomorrow. But the good news for all of you guys is we've got Wild free agent and trade ideas galore to parse through this morning. Where would you guys like to start on this Reckless Speculation Thursday?
I'd like to start off with what we talked about just now or just saw, which was the Darren Dreger on TSN clip about Jack Eichel and the possibility of him being traded to the Wild.
Reckless Speculation.
For those who don't know, Darren Dreger at TSN in Canada, which is their ESPN, and Elliot Friedman, who works at Sportsnet, which is a competitor, they're probably the two closest comps right now to Shefty. So, like, these are the big boys. Mm-hmm. This is not a
Shorsher.
Yeah, this is a guy who's very plugged in and who knows. Dreger had a tweet off of what he said there on TSN. It didn't make a lot of sense to me until I went on the Soda Pod last night with my buddies to talk Wild hockey. And they were talking about this, and I said, but the tweet doesn't make total sense because, like, in one hand, it's saying they're going to make a bid for Eichel, but on the other hand, it's saying that they're not going to sacrifice a cap space and all their prospects. So, like, obviously to get Jack Eichel is going to cost you a lot in lots of ways, including a long-term contract that's, what, Dex, I think $10 million cap hits for the next few years.
Yeah, please.
So anyway, here's what was suggested to me by Hoppy on the soda pod as we all drank some beers and recklessly speculated. And by the way, full disclosure, I brought the lifestyle to their show. Like,
of course.
I just brought the lifestyle. I said
reckless speculation.
I said reckless speculation is our bag, and I'm going to bring it to your show because this is what we do here.
You never know. Sometimes when you bring reckless speculation to a party, you never know how people are going to react, right?
True. Oh, I mean, you don't know. They embraced it, which I really appreciated.
Well, that could never happen. What are you talking about? You can't just say things like that might not happen. What are you talking about? What is this reckless speculation lifestyle? What are you guys talking about?
So
reckless.
I actually was sort of playing that role. I'm like, okay, the Dreger thing doesn't make sense to me. The Eichel thing, how is it? And I think we talked about this when Dex broached it a couple days ago. But here's what Hoppy suggested to me, and I love this one. Hoppy, who, by the way, I was going to ask, but I didn't. What's your real first name? So we call him Hoppy. So his suggestion was, he stopped me, he said, but Judd, wait. And so he took my reckless speculation and one-upped it. He said, what if the Sabres, because of their cap situation, get, let's say, Fiala, Boldy, a draft pick? So they get a lot. But because of their cap situation, they retain a portion of Eichel's cap hit, enabling the Wild to fit Eichel in. It's not so much for this coming season, but it's after that when their cap is going to be eaten up by the Parisian suitor buyouts. And I said, Hoppy, you're a genius here, because like that's what would have to happen, because after this year, the cap hits don't work with what the Wild is going to have to pay out as far as the dead money they're going to have because of Parisian suitor.
And so it's not like the NFL. You can't like restructure and front load cap hits, right?
But because Dreger doesn't make stuff up, like he's not like. He doesn't wake up and think, I'm going to talk about the Wild today. Like somebody's told him something. That's the only thing that would make sense, though. if they made the trade, they made the deal, and then they got Buffalo because Buffalo was getting players in return they liked, to retain some of the cap hit to help take that off the Wild's books.
Thoughts? So Buffalo would essentially have to eat Eichel's, not all of it, the cap, obviously, but like, let's say 15% of it or 20% mm-hmm. of it
right.
over the course of multiple years. That's what you're saying? So they would mm-hmm. they would trade him, and then you would compensate. But it still doesn't really add up as much, because I would think in order to get Eichel and also get them to eat like 20% of his cap in 2022, 23, et cetera,
yep.
that you'd have to give up even more in terms of capital, mm-hmm. right?
Yes.
But so, that's how that's the way it would work financially, to at least give yourself some breathing room to add additional pieces so you can have a third and a fourth line at some point.
Right. And here's my question. And Dex, what's your thoughts on this one? If they start with Fiala mm-hmm. going to Buffalo, who I don't, again, we like him a lot. I don't know how much the Wild loves him. Okay.
Yeah.
But if he's the starting point, and let's say it's Boldy and a couple of draft picks or something. By the way, to be clear, I don't think this happens, but nonetheless, at least the suggestion from my guy Hoppy makes sense. Right. It's a path to how it could happen. Dex, your thoughts.
I don't hate it. The Sabres going into right now have $34 million in cap space, which is a ton.
Okay.
If they cleared Eichel, and Eichel is owed, by the way, $80 million for the length, or excuse me, not $80 million. You can play 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. He's owed $60 million. Oh.
Math on the fly for
yep.
Dex.
$60 million over the next six seasons. So if they ate 20% of it, so like basically Eichel's cap goes down to 8 because it's at 10 right now. So if the Wild have an $8 million cap hit for Eichel, that makes things a lot easier. I have trepidations trading Fiala. I understand why you have to give it up to make that happen. But I would be more inclined to give them draft picks, because I have 3 first-round picks over the next 2 drafts, than I am giving up Boldy in that return. I would give up Fiala, and I give up multiple 2 of those first-round picks. That's what I would do. But retaining some of that salary, I'd be curious on it. I'd be curious on it.
They have to be aggressive, right? I mean, they just let go of Parisi and Suter to say, this is the new era of Wild hockey. Kaprizov is already one of the best players in the NHL, probably gets better next year. And the contract that you're going to sign Kaprizov to is probably going to be like, let's say a 4-year contract or something, like, so that he can be a free agent again in his late 20s. So I look at this and I say, they have a guaranteed window of Kaprizov of like 3 or 4 years. How much damage can you do in 3 or 4 years? I don't know that you can afford to just sort of sit back and not be aggressive this offseason. Because if you go in next season, And there's room to add some pieces, like and we'll get into some of the free agent names, but I just feel like if you're not aggressive via trade for a top line center this off season, aren't you wasting a year? Aren't you automatically not a Stanley Cup contender in 2021-22 and thus wasting a peak year of Kaprizov?
Absolutely. And they are going to make a trade. I think that's going to be an impact trade for a player at that position. The only question is, how big of impact is it going to be? And is it going to be, so Phil, to throw the Eichel thing then back in your court to react to, though, here's the issue. If he's going to have, and we don't know this, and reportedly Buffalo is only sharing his medical reports with teams that are like far down the path of actually inquiring, which is my guess is that the Wild will be a team like that. But if he's going to have this neck surgery, when's he going to play? Because like, if he can't play until January or something like that, that's going to ding you for this coming season, which is why I ultimately believe they're going to make an impact trade for a center. But I don't think it's going to be the mega deal potentially that Jack Eichel would be.
So he's waiting to have surgery until his situation is cleared up, right? I mean, is there any reason why he hasn't had surgery already, or is he still seeing
the Sabres
specialists?
No, the Sabres don't want him to. He wanted to a while ago, which, by the way, if you were going to have it, he should have.
Yeah. Why don't they want to? If he wants to get surgery, why would they not want him to get surgery? They feel like he's overreacting to the injury or something?
No, they can't find. They basically, they can't find any precedent for a hockey player to ever have had this type of surgery before. And I think they're very paranoid, probably rightfully so. They want him to rehab. Now, I'm sort of with him. I think if it requires surgery,
speculation.
Like, there's nothing that drives me, and this is not a parallel exactly, but there's nothing that drives me more crazy than when I read a guy who needs Tommy John is going to sit her out and hope to rehab it.
Yeah.
Like, just get the surgery if you need it. But I think Buffalo is paranoid about that. And there was a report a couple weeks ago I saw that said that they were very close to a resolution on this. And I don't know if that meant a trade or if that meant an agreement that he was going to have or not have the surgery. But that's the other thing about like the timeline here, because if the Wild's plan, and I think it is to try and win immediately, do you pick up a guy who has questionable health, or do you go get another center who's still going to be costly, but not cost as much, but you can plug him in, say, as your top line center starting on opening night?
Yeah. I wouldn't recommend Jack Eichel hop on a motorcycle with a bad neck, but I mean, all of you guys can. You listeners, DennisKirk.com is the place. If you like to ride and get out in these summer months, they've got 160,000 parts and accessories in stock, clothing and helmets as well. And if you order by 8 p.m., they ship the same day, shipping free on orders over $89. Dennis Kirk is here for all of your riding needs. And when the open road calls, head to DennisKirk.com. What about free agents? All right, we're sitting here. The Wild has created some salary cap relief in the short term, especially by saying goodbye to Suter and Parisi. They've got holes to fill. I don't think defenseman was necessarily like top of the list before yesterday, but now they have a gigantic hole, not only for a top six center, but also a defenseman. So what types of names are out there in free agency, Declan, for the Minnesota Wild?
I think the two that was actually an itchy trade. Yeah, you're just so reckless right now on this Thursday morning. You just want all the reckless speculation. I don't blame you. I barely slept last night trying to think of all these great ideas. So I get it.
That's why you barely slept last night. Okay.
There are two centers I would look at. Or two forwards, I should say, I would look at. Number one is Nick Foligno, Marcus Foligno's brother. Nick Foligno was with the Columbus Blue Jackets for a long time. He's a former captain. He got traded to Toronto. Toronto paid a hefty price at trade deadline. I believe two first-round picks, if not one.
A first
and a second to get him. That was an overpay. He was a rental. At this point in his career, he's more of probably a bottom-six guy. But what you would do there is you would put him on the third line. So you would put Nick Foligno, theoretically speaking, playing with Marcus and maybe Ryan Hartman. This would move Joel Eriksson Ek up into a secondary line, or a first or second line. Basically, you elevate Joel Eriksson Ek, which a lot of analytics and a lot of people say he should be playing higher minutes than what he's deserving of. Now, Ek, I think, plays a game that is more suited on a third line because he's a pest. He's a selkie guy. He's a defensive first forward. He scored a lot of goals last year, but he was more of the situations that put him in front of the net. He's not going to wow you with his skill necessarily, but I do think he took a significant step forward in his development, and it is worth seeing if he's someone that can slide in your top six. So Nick Foligno, although at one point was a top six center, you sign him in like the $3 to $4 million range, I could get on board with that. That's one name I think I would be curious on. Jed, what do you think? Would you bring in Nick Foligno?
I like him. I don't always solve your problems. He basically takes the Parisi spot possibly on the wing too if you don't play him at center. I don't think he solves your center dilemma completely though. So this all depends on price point to me.
Yeah.
Like if you could get him at the right price, because he's a character guy, he's a productive but not great player. But if he's also going to, and this is the problem with, as you know, Dex, the start of free agency is these teams start to make dumb decisions. Now, the one thing that I will say that's going to change the dynamic a little bit is the salary cap being flat. So, like, you're going to have a lot of teams that can't make, that previously might have made dumb investments that can't.
Yes.
So yes, at the right price, this is definitely a guy who I think would fit in well with what they're doing.
You said character guy, which I just to touch on, if people didn't see Bill Guerin with you guys on Judd's Hockey Show yesterday, go check that out. Score North YouTube channel and the Mackie and Judd podcast feed. And this even made a Reddit thread yesterday we saw on the internets that Declan asked him a question about, you know, well, how much of this was because these guys are just crappy in the room, that they're just cancers basically. And he kind of took the bait, but then realized, I can't go this far throwing those guys under the bus publicly. I need to shift. But like, now that you've talked to Bill Guerin and you've soaked this all in for a couple of days, how much of Parisian Suter, like what percentage of it was they're old and expensive and not productive versus they're just kind of pains in the asses behind the scenes and they're not setting a great culture?
Well, that definitely played a role. But so the most interesting thing I thought that Guerin acknowledged to us that he certainly didn't acknowledge at the Tuesday press conference was this. And this is where they're smart because they learned from their recent past. Guerin acknowledged fully that Suter's minutes were going to come crashing down. Like he said, he was going to play a lot less. So like, this was not a, hey, you're playing a couple less minutes than you were previously. This was going to be sounds like a seismic shift. They saw that with Zach and I think the problem is twofold. One, they weren't great room guys to start with. And two, the less they played and the more unhappy they got, the less they embraced life with this franchise. And so, Dex, I'm not sure if you agree, but I felt like what Guerin was saying is, we saw that movie once. We didn't need to see the sequel. Because the sequel was going to be, okay, Zach's gone. Hooray, everybody's happy. And now Ryan's not playing as much, and guess who's unhappy? So amazing. I think those things all factored into the fact that they are trying to build a cohesiveness here that doesn't – it's really hard to make that happen if guys are upset.
Absolutely.
And moaning about it.
Yeah, I thought it was really interesting just how he said it. To answer your question, Phil, I think it's probably 50-50, like to answer your productivity and their presence in the room. I think it was 50-50. Suter was eventually going to hit a wall, and maybe we'll figure out this year if he's going to hit a wall. He wasn't the same Norris kind of guy he was 5 or 6 years ago, but he was still a productive top four defenseman. I still believe he probably projects to be a top four defenseman. But, you know, at the peak of that, he was playing 29 minutes a night. Like, I think in 2014, he was averaging 29 minutes of ice time, which is something that I honestly don't think will ever happen again. Like, that is an insane amount of ice time for players to be logging, and he was mostly really productive at that. But the fact Guerin acknowledged that, look, we're just moving forward in this next chapter of Wild hockey, that's what I want fans to accept. I think that's the biggest, a little bit of a misconception. It was like, yes, Parise and Suter took the Wild that were stagnant to a level, but they never hit the ceiling that was projected to happen. I mean, 9 years of Parise and Suter, and all you had to show for it was 2 series wins and a game 6 in round 2. Like, man, that's a disappointment when you look back on it. I would do it again, but it's a disappointment. So I think it was pretty neat that Guerin basically acknowledged that, yeah, we had to move on from these guys.
Yeah. All right, back to the free agent list. Yep. So Nick Foligno. Nick Foligno makes me a little nervous because he's like 34.
Uh-huh.
I'll trust your guys' instinct on that, but I'd like to hear some of the other possibilities.
So the other one, and this guy's older too. He's up there in age, but he's just always been a very productive center, and he's an analytics darling, and he's played a ton of playoff games, is Paul Stastny. Now, Stastny is 35 years old. That's still scored double-digit goals. I think he's like logged 100 career playoff games. He's been with Colorado, St. Louis, Vegas, was with the Jets last season. If you could get Stastny on a one-year deal, and I'm in the camp in most sports too, that if you can get any player on a one-year deal, there's no such thing as a bad one-year contract. He's up there in age. He probably wants to win. I think you'd have to still convince him that this is the right situation for you at this point in his career. I think he's been to a cup, but hasn't won a cup. But Corsi-wise, he has been still a rock star. He literally had a 57% Corsi last year in Winnipeg, which is unheard of. He's always been a very productive possession player. He doesn't shoot as much as he used to when he was in Colorado, but he's still someone I think right now, if you plugged and played him as your top line center, even though he's up there in age, would be your de facto number one center.
I'll tell you real quick before Judd jumps in with actual knowledge here. The fact that Paul Stastny has played over 100 career playoff games and still, like, in his mid-30s is still pretty productive player, at least, like, basic box score. Very interesting. I just remember him from, like, the early part of the Parise Suter era. Mm-hmm. He's been a pest on many teams that the Wild have, Colorado, St. Louis, that, you know, many teams the Wild have sparred with over the years.
I think it'd be an interesting move. Dex is right. If you can get him on a 1-year contract and plug him in and see how much is left, he's 35, so he's certainly not a kid. It probably wouldn't be a bad idea. That being said, I would like to see them, if they can do it, make a splash trade for a center who you could plug in here for a period of time. That would be the ideal. I guess the question is that trade out there, which I think it might be. And then the next question is, if it's not the Eichel trade, what do you want to sacrifice or give up? Your defensive depth, which was fantastic a couple of days ago, now is depleted because Suter's gone. And my guess is the Kraken next Wednesday is going to take Carson Soucy, who's another defenseman. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, the Stastny one at 35 on a 1-year deal would probably appeal to me more than most avenues that you could go, because the free agent market does have, you know, a lot of old guys. I mean, yeah. Derek Stepan, who's from Hastings, the former Ranger who went to the Senators last year and got hurt and had a disappointing year. But I mean, you plug a guy like that in, first of all, he's probably a third or fourth line guy. And second of all, he's older. So the Stastny one intrigues me. I'd like to see them, and I think they're going to be pretty aggressive in trying to make a deal for more of a long-term solution. And the X factor to this entire reckless speculation conversation is Marco Rossi and where he's going to be at. Is he going to develop quickly after essentially not playing hockey this past year because of COVID? And can he step in as well? Because, you know, keep in mind, I think the long-term plan is for him to eventually develop in the next few years into your top line guy.
So real quick, one more thing on Stastny. This reminds me a little bit of the Vikings in that, yeah, ideally you'd want, over the last 15 years, you'd want that young franchise quarterback, or in the case of the Wild, that top line center that you can bring in. He's in his early 20s, or if you can get really lucky somehow through the draft, you get like a 19, 20-year-old and then ride him for 12 years. But if you can't get, like, that's what they should be going for, and that would be amazing. If you can't get that, hey, Warren Moon, Randall Cunningham, Brett Favre, like how bad would it be if Paul Stastny was one of your top two centers for 1 year, you know, age 36, you know, he turns 36 on December 27th.
If that's the real option, I wouldn't criticize it. It might work great, it might work okay, but I don't think he's going to be a detriment. So for one year, it would be fine. I mean, the problem is I've got Fletcher syndrome, where I'm so used to, let's give this guy 4 years and here's a no move clause. And oh, we love you. And it's like, what are you doing? Yeah. Are you an idiot? So like I'm jaded and scarred by those moves. But Bill Guerin is not going to do those moves. And if you did this right, I think it would be absolutely fine. And it would be progress.
Yep. I would say he's plan B. Like, basically, you would go into this expansion draft, you go into the draft, and then if you weren't able to pull off a trade by the time free agency opens, you'd probably pick up the phone and start the dialogue with Stastny. I think he's plan B. He's not certainly plan A, but like Judd said, I think he'd be a solid placeholder to start.
But the Eichel thing, which, by the way, I am not advocating, it scares me too much. But if Dreger's floating the Eichel thing out there, and if the Wild could get Buffalo to retain salary, I'm going to tell you right now, that's probably being discussed. Mm-hmm. Like that's real. Dreger is Schefter. He doesn't...
Reckless speculation.
He's not that next line of guys who recklessly speculates like we do because he had some dream that Jack Eichel was wearing the Wild sweater. So
he has a reputation to protect.
Well, and he's got agents and people in his ear who know what's going on.
All right, who else is on this free agent idea list?
Well, after that, I mean, it gets pretty dang barren for the at least from the forward sides. I mean, yeah, like Judd said, there's Derek Stepan. There's other defensemen that this team's probably gonna have to target. Excuse me, if they lose Carson Soucy, especially in the expansion draft. I mean, they will have a hole there. That's Suter and Soucy gone. I believe Ian Cole comes back, but you could also bring in maybe someone like Alex Goligoski, a former Golden Gopher. This one's more of a pipe dream. I don't think you can get him, but Alec Martinez is a free agent. He was a pest for Vegas this last year. He's a big body. He might get the biggest free agent contract in terms of defensemen on the market. He's a good player. He won a cup with the Kings. I believe he scored the game winner for the Kings in their second cup in 2014 in OT to give their second cup. So he might be a little more expensive, but they will have to add a defenseman of substance. They will. That's another thing to the thought line.
Martinez will get paid. He'll be one of the guys that definitely gets paid. The interesting thing that I think we need to keep in mind from what Guerin is doing, and there's a lot of things that the Suter buyout says, but I think one thing it says for sure too is he definitely likes the system that they're developing. Like we need to be prepared for them to give a lot of young guys opportunities to step up too. Because Guerin doesn't strike me as the type of guy who's going to now say, okay, those guys are gone, let's sign a bunch of 36-year-old guys. I think that they like what they're doing in the pipeline. And so I do think that – I think Suter's minutes were going to go down, Phil and Dex, not because of a guy that was like going to be brought in and signed. I think they like Addison and kids like that, and that's why Ryan's playing time was going to decrease. So I'm just saying I could definitely see a splash trade, which would be fun, but I could also see a lot of kids getting opportunities to play fairly quickly if they can establish themselves. Yeah.
Before we move on and actually take Reckless Speculation Thursday to an even new level, to greater heights today, any quick final thoughts on the Wild, the week that's been, the look ahead, expansion draft in a week?
I think this is going to be, I mean, you could make a case that on Tuesday, that was the most shocking Minnesota Wild news since the Parise and Suter signings happened. You know, you can make that's one, the signing one, the buyout number two. I think this is shaping up to be the biggest summer for the Wild since 2012. I think that's pretty clear. You know, there was the Thomas Vanek year 6-7 years ago, which turned out to be multi-disappointing.
Yeah, you clowned Parise and Suter for not being able to recruit high-profile free agents. Now quickly you forget Thomas Vanek.
I don't want to talk about it. Just disgusting. Another player who signed here to retire. I'd like to say this. I'd like to throw out some reckless speculation. Well, first of all, invites to our club, because I feel that the lifestyle is extending. And second of all, I'd like to induct them into the Mackie and Judd Big Cojones Club. Gerson Rosas and Bill Guerin. You guys aren't afraid to make moves. I mean, let's not sleep on Gerson. And no matter what you thought of the D'Lo trade, Big Cojones is there to include the draft picks that he did as well. So I'd like to really invite them and congratulate them on adopting a lifestyle that really is freeing.
What would be among the four heritage men's teams in town? So Vikings, Timberwolves, Wild, Twins. What would be the front office Cojones power rankings right now? I think Bill Guerin sits atop.
I think he's one
with
right now, yeah.
The largest watermelons. Well, right?
Recency bias, but yes. This was a big deal.
Gerson. I think some of it is the moves that he has made. Like he reset the whole roster within about 10 months of taking the job.
Mm-hmm.
Trades Andrew Wiggins for D'Lo. And now he's immediately, like, he's having conversations this summer with Elton Brand, the GM of the 76ers. Like, he's not afraid to shoot his shot. And he's floating all these trade ideas. I think he's number two. Don't sleep on Rick Spielman, man.
No.
Rick Spielman will drop a bomb.
Yes.
When you least expect it. He'll sign a big free agent quarterback. Yeah. He'll swing a trade for Jared Allen. And then I think right there neck and neck has to be that Twins front office and all the big, big moves that they've made at the trade deadline. You know, acquiring Sam Dyson.
Hold on a second.
To help the 2019 Bomba squad. I mean, I we're pretty blessed here with all four of those teams.
Dare you leave out Score North Radio Partners Loons, because the Loons, Adrian Heath and company, are before the Twins.
They legitimately are. Like, they have been more aggressive in the international player pool.
Yes.
I mean, the Lynx are more aggressive. I mean, there's not as much like splashy player movement because the contracts aren't as big and whatnot in terms of like national headlines. But the Lynx have not been afraid to burn a bridge or say goodbye to a veteran or bring in a star player.
And then you've got the Saints. So put them in front of the Twins. And then you've got the St. Louis Park Babe Ruth team down the street from me.
They're very sneaky. Yeah, they'll change your birth address. Yeah,
they'll make moves. So put them in front of the Twins. But I mean, Gerson and Billy.
Yeah, no, it's
fun. Congratulations.
It's Cojones Corner when those guys get together for
Cojones Corner.
Can that be a t-shirt?
Yeah, seriously.
I feel like we should give t-shirts out to them.
Down on Cojones Corner with Gerson Rosas and Billy Guerin. So to continue this Reckless Speculation Thursday, one of the benefits of living a life of reckless speculation is you're never truly surprised when big moves happen, right? Like the Ryan Suter thing was shocking to most, and it was definitely a little bit of a whoa. In fact, Declan, his live reaction while you guys were recording the Scoop with Doogie, which is, you can find that on Declan's Twitter account.
Yeah.
Declan's like, oh, what's happening? But then he realized after about 2 seconds, he was like, oh, I saw this coming. I live a life of reckless speculation where we explore all possibilities, both good and bad, when it comes to our Minnesota sports teams.
Oh, yeah.
So Judd texts us last night and says, all right, the Suter thing is a great example of something that most people and us like didn't see coming. Mm-hmm. And it's sort of validation of these Minnesota teams. They're not as like the Twins have sort of set this, I feel like, this reputation incorrectly for the rest of the market where, well, that would never happen. That you can't. That's outlandish. That's clickbait, right? Well, look at all the things. We can make a list for 10 years of all the things that teams other than the Twins have done. Even the Twins, like they signed Josh Donaldson, like they do some things once in a while.
Yeah.
But let's take this thing to a new level here, and we'll throw it to Judd first because this is your brainchild. What are some crazy, far-out, reckless speculation scenarios involving our Minnesota sports teams that aren't currently on the radar? So, like, Ben Simmons to the Timberwolves would be huge, but that's already on the radar.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah.
Let's go off the radar. Like, the Ryan Suter thing was off the radar. Nobody a week before that happened was sitting there saying, boy, you know what? I know we're all talking about a Parisi buyout, but what if they bought both those guys? Like, it would have made people's heads explode. Like, if Jeb would have wrote that column on Scorn.com, people would have called it clickbait. People would have said, you know, classic Score North, just trying to stir the pot, right? Mm-hmm. So what are some off-the-radar, reckless speculation scenarios that we should throw out to the masses?
First of all, for this one, for those who are watching, let me take the glasses off.
Glasses are off.
Rub the eyes. Put the glasses back on and lower them to the bridge of the nose. Wow, this is a serious
thing. This is getting serious here.
So the way I like to see this, and it crystallized to me, I mentioned this to both of you on the show yesterday, in relation to the Suter decision, is I think what I said was, this confirms to me that in the left-hand drawer of Rick Spielman's office at TCO Performance Center, there's a file that has Kirk Cousins' exit plan on it, that like the Vikings are fully prepared that if he won't renegotiate his contract after 2021, that there is an exit plan there. But I feel we've talked about Kirk enough, so I would like to get to another player who I believe there's a file on in Rick Spielman's left-hand drawer at TCO Performance Center. Now, this is not going to be a huge like trade, but it is going to be a significant move if it's made, because you know what? It's a fan favorite. It's another guy. And like Bill Guerin told us, I ain't the most popular guy right now, right? Like, I'm cutting people who you've got his jersey maybe, right? So like, these are tough decisions. But I mean, Billy put it perfectly. He's like, Father Time, boys, undefeated. Mm-hmm. Happened to me.
I think I know where you're going here.
Is he
one of us?
You can't. No, it's actually not. I thought of him as well, but it's not, because wow, this one makes more sense as far as the potential return that I'm going to try and get in a trade. In Rick Spielman's drawer is a file. It starts with the player's number. That number is 33.
Wow.
The name is Dalvin Cook.
Wow.
All right.
But this is clickbait. They just signed him to a contract extension. They just kicked in. This is clickbait.
Can't do that.
Exactly right. And this is where it's genius, because you work with Rob Brzezinski, who is the master of cap manipulation, and also the guy that I can go to and say, Rob, could we do this? And he says, of course we can. We can do anything that we want. Dalvin Cook is entering year 5, and Dalvin Cook is a Pro Bowl player who I like a lot, okay? So I'd like to start by saying that. But Dalvin Cook is going to get the ball a ton if he can remain healthy. And by the way, just to be fair to Dalvin, he played 4 games and tore up his knee as a rookie. He then played 11 games in 2018, but the last 2 years, he has missed 2 games each year, which is, you know, 2 games is 2 games, but it's also not like he's missing 5 games per year. If everything goes right with Dalvin Cook, he's going to carry the ball a ton again. He's going to catch a lot of passes. And the Vikings are going to use him up as much as possible as this new contract is kicking in. So if you're a savvy team and you know that running backs can be replaced, but you also have one who's valuable, and there's always a sucker on the market, what about this? Dalvin Cook has a significant year for you, a very nice year, perhaps a Pro Bowl year, I don't know. And you next March, as the new league year begins, spin him off for potentially a second round pick and then replace him with a younger, cheaper running back.
Reckless speculation.
Wow. I mean, this is
like, I do believe this type of plan exists. Not saying it's going to, I would say a year ago that Bill Guerin, if you had gone to him and said, you buying out suits, would have probably been like, probably not. So, but I'm talking about reckless speculation plans that need to exist.
This is, and we should have put a disclaimer on the beginning of this, even more than we did. Like, we did put a disclaimer on the beginning of this. But just to reiterate, this is a safe space to talk openly about ideas that are outlandish, okay? Reckless speculation is outlandish by nature. But usually it's grounded in some semblance of, like, current reality, right? Like, Timberwolves looking to make a trade.
Yes.
Who are some options?
Yes.
This is very far off the radar because Dalvin's contract extension just kicked in. He's 25 years old. He's one of the best, really one of the best skill position weapons in the NFL. And the current offensive system and philosophy is built around pounding the rock. They have offensive linemen that they have put into place that are nimble, that can get out, zone run blocking. It's like everything is sort of catered to Dalvin Cook. I think for this to happen, you'd be looking also at a coaching change. Yeah. Like I think it would be a scenario where the Vikings underachieve this season and it's time to part ways with Mike Zimmer, and they're going to lean into a more, you know, pass centric approach. You know, maybe even 2022 turns into kind of a reset year, not a rebuild, but like take a step back from Kirk's contract, you know, whether it's Kellen Mond or somebody else, and you're looking to clear some cap space, whatever. Like, but that's pretty far out there, because I think they are so attached to Dalvin Cook as the centerpiece of their offense.
Well, I think what you said is right, though. Let's say Zim is gone. And by the way, the Vikings could have a slightly disappointing year. And I do think the expectations are going to be high. So I think the room to for Mike to be fired is actually fairly big, because like I don't think a playoff berth assures him of his job. But Dalvin could still have an incredibly productive year, right? And now he's aging. And here's the other thing: do you guys think that Eric Bieniemy doesn't think to himself, "I played that position, I can find a running back"? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I will say, in general, once a running back gets to be about the age of 26, which is what Dalvin will be next year, if somebody wants to give you like a first or second round pick for a running back past the age of 25, 26, I think you just take it in today's NFL, right? I don't even know how many teams would give that for a running back, but you would just take. And then the argument, well, how are you going to find? Well, I mean, you found Dalvin Cook in the draft.
In the second round.
Alvin Kamara, like, there's a bunch of dudes. Go look at that draft. There's a bunch of dudes that went after Dalvin Cook that are franchise running backs.
Yep.
So teams always get weird about, well, like, Aaron Jones went a couple rounds after. I don't remember what round he was in. Or maybe he was a second round pick, too. But
I believe
like,
he was, yeah.
There were some ridiculous running backs in that draft all after the first round. And on rookie contracts, those guys are amazing. I think the mistake is paying them 10, 12, 15 million. Like, Zeke Elliott. I think the Cowboys want to be paying Zeke Elliott the money they're paying him. They felt oddly pressured, and Emmett Smith is the blueprint for us 25, 30 years ago. So we must pay running backs. All right. This is a safe space, right?
Safe space.
It's a very safe space. I feel like we need a safe word if you're going to go down a really dangerous path.
Reckless speculation.
And I'd like to make that word pigskin.
It's good, because my scenario also involves the Minnesota Vikings.
Okay.
And unlike you, I am going to go down, to set this up, a Kirk Cousins path here, okay? Now, again, to remind people, this is we are inspired by the shocking buyout of Ryan Suter, a move that no one saw coming. What are some other things that would be shocking if you presented them now, but if you think about it, could make some sense if you go 2, 3, 4 steps down the road?
Mm-hmm.
So Vegas doesn't love the Vikings this year. I think we, the Minnesota talking heads and media and the fans, like the Vikings a lot more than the Sharks and the odds makers do. Vegas and all the sports books look at the Vikings and say, that's a team that's going to compete for a playoff spot, around 500, chance to get to maybe 10 or 11 wins. I think I've seen over-unders at like 8.5, 9, maybe 9.5 for the Vikings. Certainly not like 10.5, 11.5, et cetera. So smart people are telling you, be careful. Now, if Aaron Rodgers gets moved out of the division, I think they have to adjust. I think the Vikings are winning the division. But there is a chance that they could fall short. They could barely miss the playoffs, and major changes could be afoot if things don't go well for the Vikings, right? And they'd have a big decision to make on Kirk Cousins, who's set to be the second highest paid quarterback in the league to the cap next year behind only Matt Ryan. I think they're both set to make like $45 million to the cap. Literally almost like a quarter of your team's overall salary cap devoted to one guy who's not Pat Mahomes, by the way. And so you're really staring down the barrel of wanting to replace Kirk Cousins' cap hit. Like, you don't want to. And if he doesn't want to play ball, if he says not, I mean, either pay me the cap hit, I'm not going to restructure again, I want to hit free agency, then he leaves you no choice but to probably trade him, right? So if you trade him, you could save $35 million in cap space. You'd still have to eat the $10 million if I'm reading this right on Spotrac.com. Who would replace Kirk Cousins? Well, Kellen Mond is the one we've all talked about, right? Well, you drafted him in the third round. But, you know, like historically, third round, fourth round quarterbacks only have like a 20% chance of actually panning out. And maybe, let's say you don't love him in training camp. Like, he's fine, and he's definitely a body that you want in your organization, but you're not ready to rebuild in 2022. Maybe it's a transition year, but you're not ready to just like give the keys to anyone at quarterback who's never played before.
Mm-hmm.
So you'd be looking at stopgap options. And everyone's going to throw out Ryan Fitzpatrick, like he's the ultimate stopgap, right? There's the Tyrod Taylors. Well, there's a guy who's a first ballot Hall of Famer that is set to be a free agent after the 2021 season that everyone is already writing off, but he's getting in the best shape of his life this offseason because he wants to keep playing football at a high level. But I think he's headed for a divorce with his team that's likely not going to win the division in the AFC North. Ben Roethlisberger.
Oh, wow.
Reckless speculation.
The Vikings.
Pigskin.
Historically, the Vikings love doing this. I mean, this goes way back before the current regime of Vikings front office.
Wow.
The Vikings are the most stopgap, like, used to be great quarterback team in NFL history.
Yeah.
Jim McMahon, Warren Moon, Randall Cunningham, Jeff George, Brett Favre, Donovan McNabb. Matt Cassel had a good run with Kansas City and the Patriots. They brought Matt Cassel in.
Mm-hmm.
They do this all the time. And so, again, this is a safe space. We are stretching the boundaries of reckless speculation here, okay?
Yeah.
But they are not going to pay Kirk Cousins $45 million to the cap next year. If he digs his heels in and says, I'm not restructuring, either trade me or play out the last year of the contract, and then because I want to hit free agency, you would trade him. You would save the $35 million to the cap.
Mm-hmm.
And a divorced from Pittsburgh Ben Roethlisberger's value would go down, and you'd probably be able to sign him for like $15 or $20 million. You'd save money.
Yeah.
Even eating the $10 million on Kirk's trade.
Yes.
You'd save money if you went that direction. Now, he'd be like 40 years old. But I'm just saying, like, it's not – if you play this out, they're probably going to be looking for another quarterback option in 2022
yeah.
if they can't come to a deal with Kirk. If they don't trust Kellen Mond and if they think they can win games, they're going to be looking for a stopgap. Now, Teddy's also available, which might be too tempting if Zimmer's still the coach. What do you guys think?
It totally is predicated on if a way more in shape Roethlisberger looks halfway decent this season and Pittsburgh still jettisons him and allows him to leave.
Mm-hmm.
I have a feeling that he's just broken down. Like I appreciate the fact he's gotten in shape and trying to rebound. I have a feeling that his body, because I mean, he's played a physical game and he's a big guy himself. I think he might be breaking down, but I totally see where you're going and I'm on board with the thought process. Like that makes perfect sense because especially if Zimmer is back, you know, Kellen Mond, I mean, yeah, third round pick, he might be fine. He might not be though. So, and I don't know what Mike's patience, and I know there was a time when he loved Teddy and played Teddy. So there's precedent here, but I also don't know at this point in time in Mike's coaching career and life, if he would want to go through the same thing, like, hey, you're developing Kellen Mond now. So the path here, the reckless speculation path that you just like you just went into the woods and started to cut down trees and stuff to build a house.
Hey, you wanted ideas.
No, but what I'm saying is like, I feel like you're making headway on a new development. I just don't know if the house you're talking about is the right guy, but like that is a Viking thing. And I could see Mike being like, well, if I'm going to be back for, you know, 2022, do I really want Kellen Mond?
And think about this. Like, it seems so far-fetched, right? Because obviously there's so many things that would have to happen. But if the first domino falls, meaning if the Vikings decide we have to trade Kirk Cousins, we can't do this. And if you're going to play hardball like you have with your contract always, like,
right,
we can't do this. Then that's a big first domino that has to fall, and it's not currently close to falling. But like, if it falls, then the immediate next conversation will be who's the starting quarterback, and mm-hmm. the options will be Kellen Mond. Drafting someone in the first round would also be an option for 2022, or the free agent list, the handful of guys that have been starters before: Bridgewater, Fitzpatrick, Ben Roethlisberger, that are going to be free agents. So. The same.
I totally get it. And I love it. And I love the reckless nature. Yeah. Wow. Ben Roethlisberger.
All right.
I did not wake up this morning thinking about Big Ben.
Reckless speculation.
All right, Declan.
All right. So I actually have a Timberwolves trade that I'd like to bring to the table. So you guys did two Vikings ones. Ooh. Let's get a little more reckless here. Get a little more reckless here because, you know, there's been some Ben Simmons talk, and I, you know, Ben Simmons is a good defensive player. His value is a little low right now, but I thought let's get a little crazier. Let's look for a player that's even better than Ben Simmons.
You want to get nuts?
Let's get nuts. So here's what I came up with. And by the way, I couldn't use the ESPN trade machine because the ESPN trade machine is still under the contracts for this current season, and you can't toggle. I couldn't figure out at least how to toggle to the next season.
I've seen people using a different trade machine that you can also include like draft picks and stuff.
Yes.
We got to find the other trade machine.
So I think
if somebody knows what the best trade machine is, send it to us in the YouTube comment sections, please.
No, but I think I found it. I think I found the other trade machine. And this trade is successful per this trade machine. And I was a little surprised by it.
Maybe the Wolves should hire that. The Wolves hired the ESPN trade machine guy. Maybe they should hire this guy.
Hire a new trade machine guy.
So here's what I do. I'm Gerson Rosas, friend of the show. And I pick up the phone and I call a new executive. Well, he's transitioning. I call up Brad Stevens in the Boston Celtics.
Yeah, you could probably fleece that guy. He's never been a GM before.
Exactly. I think he's a smart guy, Brad Stevens, but I think you could fleece him. You call up Brad and you say, here's the deal, Brad. Boston, you're in this weird window a little bit here, okay? You're in this weird window. I'm going to give you a 2023 unprotected first round pick. I'm going to give you our first round pick. Just had it. I'm going to give you D'Angelo Russell.
Oh my God.
And I'm going to give you Anthony Edwards. I'm going to give you a new core player. Hold on. Wait. I'm going to do a new core player.
Pigskin, for you to
build around.
Pigskin.
In return, you will send me Jason Tatum and Tristan Thompson. And I'm going extremely reckless here. And per this trade idea, it is successful. As seen on the screen here on StreamYard.
Wow, this is, I think,
reckless speculation.
I don't even know what's happening right now. What did we do with this segment?
The day that reckless speculation crashed and burned. I love it.
So, okay, keep going. Okay.
So basically, Jason Tatum is one of the best players in the NBA.
He's also like 22. He's ridiculous.
And
he's an unbelievable player.
Next year's the first year of his max contract. So he'll make $28 million next year. Basically, you're swapping the money out for D'Lo and Jason Tatum, which adds up. The Tristan Thompson ad, you have to add the money because if you're trading Anthony Edwards, who's going to be making about $10 million next season and the second year of his rookie deal. And Tristan Thompson could be the five on this team. So now all of a sudden, it's Tristan Thompson, Kat, Jason Tatum as your new basically starting five.
I love how Tristan Thompson's just collateral
here. He's collateral.
Just bring him over with Chloe again.
Yep.
This will be the second time that Chloe has dated a Timberwolves player in the last 15 years.
LOL.
Shout out Rashad McCants.
But yes, I think this can work. I think so this is my Wolves, reckless speculation.
The Wolves lineup would then be Karl Anthony Towns. Jason Tatum would be the best player on the team. Karl Anthony Towns would be the Robin. And you would also then have Malik Beasley still as a shooter, and then a bunch of other pieces. Oh my God, dude. Now, all right. Do you still have enough pieces to swing a trade also for Ben Simmons? Like, could we
no.
Could we acquire both done. Jason Tatum and Ben Simmons?
No. You get Jason Tatum who's infinitely better than all those players involved. He'd be the best player in the Wolves.
I love where you're going here. I mean, that's just a haul to give up, but it's Jason Tatum. Jason Tatum's an incredible player. The Celtics are going to want to build around Jason Tatum. That's like, there's no reason for them to trade Jason Tatum. But I love where you're going here. I think these are these, I will say this. These are the types of things that Gerson should and might actually be texting and emailing to fellow front office members across the league, right? What would you think?
As a member of the Big Cojones Club, I think Gerson, I think Gerson pretty much admitted to us that when a lot of GMs or old school guys used to hang up the phone or still do, I don't think he does. Like, I think he's made it clear that he's not going to trade Ant. But I think if you called him and brought up Ant in Declan's defense here, I bet he doesn't hang up the phone. I bet he says, I'll hear you out. I think people would probably be amazed by the amount of reckless ideas and talks that go on that probably are never going to get done,
but still exist.
Oh. But Declan coming strong.
The 1 a.m. reckless 1 a.m. reckless speculation trade ideas. That's the best time. Best time to come up with trade ideas.
Amazing. I need a smoke after happened there for the last 20 minutes. All of it powered by our friends at Federated Mutual Insurance Company. So, one cool thing that Federated does, they're involved very heavily with Big Brothers Big Sisters, the Federated Challenge, every year hosted by my friends at Federated. So they bring together community-focused and generous businesses and individuals to raise money, millions of dollars over the years, to support Big Brothers Big Sisters, which is a 116-year-old one-to-one mentoring organization. In fact, since 2005, the Federated Challenge has raised $41 million to help ignite the potential of our nation's youth, thanks to partners like SIT Investment Associates, Minnesota Timberwolves and Lynx, Speak of the Devil, Holborn Corporation. So find out more. Just check out the Federated Challenge and see how you can potentially support Big Brothers and Big Sisters as well. Wow, that's not all on today's show, because we go back in the archives also every Thursday and we expose ourselves. Yes. Old tweets exposed here. And now Declan tipped me off a day or two ago. He's like, I think it's over. I think Declan is going to self-report something here, apparently, that it's not even going to be a question of who wins, quote-unquote, this week's old tweets exposed. But go ahead.
I'll start with my very outlandish Facebook status, which still works for old tweets exposed, by the way. I told you yesterday we were talking about Don McNabb camp stories. So I found a Facebook status the other day. July 27th, 2011,
oh, no.
McNabb to the Vikings.
Oh, no.
Super Bowl.
Oh.
Homeboy.
No. Was this, okay, I'm going to try and bail you out here. Was this at all tongue-in-cheek or sarcastic?
No. This was, I remember, this was like a month before I left for college. I was still super purple Kool-Aid blinders were even more on. No, this was not sarcastic. I remember this very vividly.
Well, the good news for you is you weren't alone in this, because somebody named Christian Wacker gave it the thumbs up on Facebook, and he also was all aboard the Donovan McNabb Super Bowl train.
Was this like, I hope you were sipping on something.
I wasn't.
As pretty young 10 years ago.
I was 18.
Was probably in high school.
Yeah, I was a month before going to college.
Did you not drink at 18?
Oh, I drank at 18. But I was going to say. At that,
I had plenty of great moments at 18.
At that time, no, I was not drinking when I sent that face. That was just pure optimism. that was just absolutely pure optimism.
And,
so.
Heck, you courted the moth.
I did.
Triple home boy.
Well, that's definitely the leader in the clubhouse here.
All right, so there's two actually Judd Zolgad things that I want to bring to the table. This is the first one. November 27th, 2012. What a game from Love. Man, this has been a fun winter season. Watching star players in town like Love, Parisi, Suter, and oh, wait. Were you watching a Vikings game and you were like trying to be tongue-in-cheek that these guys weren't living up to Kevin Love, Zach Parisi, and Ryan Suter? This is all. Dude. I mean, this is a 9-year-old tweet.
Yeah, dude, what was 9 years ago? So it's November. So yeah, it would have had to be a Vikings.
It's 11 o'clock. So you're watching something late. So it could have been a primetime game.
And what's November 27th? Is that a Monday?
This was also the year where the Wolves. I think this might have been the night where Kevin Love daggered the Clippers on national TV.
That was a Friday night.
That was a Friday night.
I'm going to look that up. How much credit would I get if I had just nailed the date of that game?
Let's see. Quite a bit. I would pat you on the back if I was in Seattle.
A second.
Yes.
Yeah, what would the sarcasm be?
I don't know. I'm looking up the Viking schedule from.
All right, you do that. But I love that the star players in town, Kevin Love, Zach Parisi, Ryan Suter, Parisi? Could it? No, it can't be the Twins.
It was a win on the road against Sacramento, in which he went for 23 points, 24 rebounds.
Wow.
24 rebounds. I think, yeah. Yeah,
so this is November
27th. Late game against Sacramento.
November 27th. Okay. The Vikings, November 27th was a Tuesday, and the Vikings had just lost to the Chicago Bears. The night before, or 2 days before, I'm sorry.
Okay.
So I don't know. I must have been being a smart ass.
I guess it's a mystery. Maybe you weren't happy with the rest of the.
I mean, it could have been Vikings still. Like, I could have been mocking.
Was that still Access Vikings days? Or no, you were here at 50.
No, this is 50.
I was here, yeah.
And that Vikings team in 2012 got off to a slow start, but they finished strong because Peterson. Yep. That would have been during the time where. No, actually, you know what? That would have been before December, before they went on their 4-game win streak.
It might have been Ponder.
Okay.
Could be a Ponder-related tweet.
You were ripping Ponder.
That makes sense.
So in that case,
What a jerk I was. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, Sam.
All right. It's going to have to take a doozy from me to top what Declan put
in. All right. So this is a secondary Judd tweet, but it's more. I want to expose the old Mackie and Judd show because it looks like you guys are making Stanley Cup picks. And on April 14th, 2007, Phil Mackey and Dave Harrigan have the Wild winning the Stanley Cup.
I remember this.
I'm going with Wild in 6 over Blues and Wild lose in second round of Hawks, which I think is exactly what happened. But did Phil Mackey...
They beat the Blues and then they lost to the Hawks.
Okay. Did Phil Mackey really have the Minnesota Wild winning the Stanley Cup in 2015?
Probably, yeah. The Hockey Whisperer was definitely drinking Wild Kool-Aid back in those days.
Yeah, spiked Wild Kool-Aid.
Yeah, so this is another one. Judd was sort of spot on with this one, and Harrigan and I were drinking too much Kool-Aid. Okay. Yeah, it's not my fault if the Wild can't live up to the expectations that are set for them. Okay. All right, don't rip me. Rip the Wild.
Phil, all right, so Phil's tweet for this week isn't necessarily exposing, but it's worth pointing out because I think it's a absolutely hilarious tweet. So it's old tweets exposed in comedy form. July 11th.
Find hilarious tweets from me.
2012. So wait, I leave for a week. The Wild sign Parisi and Suter. The Wolves sign Brandon Roy. AP gets arrested and Dubé is back on the radio. WTF.
Wait, so is this when we hired Dubé to be Judd's co-host?
Yeah. Must have been, right?
Yeah. And you were still Patrick's partner.
How does that tweet only have 4 likes?
I know.
That's a great tweet, man.
It is a great tweet.
People just weren't, there weren't that many people on Twitter.
Were you on vacay when Parisi and Suter signed?
It was July 4th, so he probably was.
July
4th, 2012.
Fourth week. I'm trying to think of timing there. I was covering the Twins, and I took vacation during the All-Star week always. So I probably went to, I don't know. I probably went out of town or something. I will say that the Brandon Roy thing is pretty funny. Like to put that on the same sentence as Wild signing Parisi and Suter. I was very excited. Brandon Roy was a really good player for like 2 years, and then his Kevin McHale was right about that. Kevin McHale was worried about Brandon Roy's knees, and that's why he made the swap for Randy Foy. But that's another sort of alternate reality scenario with the Timberwolves, is if they had paired Brandon Roy at his peak for 2 years with Kevin Garnett,
mm-hmm.
would they have made a run in the Western Conference? Because I think the Blazers went to the playoffs and did some things with Brandon Roy. But Declan,
yeah,
congratulations, man.
Yeah, it's not even close. I feel like you sandbagged yourself. Like, you didn't even embarrass us that much.
No. Yeah. I told you it was going to be a runaway. And I thought about not even bringing another one to the table, but I had to do my due diligence and bring something there. So, yes, I do win again. Classic.
So there it is. Old tweets exposed here on this Reckless Speculation Thursday. We appreciate you guys hanging out with us. If you've got 2 hours and 40 minutes between now and tomorrow, make sure to carve it out to watch Any Given Sunday, because that's the sports movie review we will be doing on tomorrow's show. And also, it sounds like Doogie's going to join us a day late for some speculative discussion. Guessing there's some Wolves nuggets to be thrown out. So, yeah, thanks for hanging out with us. Mackie and Judd, Minnesota Sports Entertainment Daily in podcast form. See you tomorrow.